welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're going to spend some time now talking with former U.S. Senator Larry Pressler. He speaks next week at Dakota State University, and the title of his presentation is called History, Hollywood, and War, Larry Pressler and the Making of American History. Senator Pressler, thanks so much for being with us today on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to the students in Madison at Dakota State next Monday.
Monday night at 7 o'clock. It is free and open to the public as well. And we're going to have a little preview of that talk here today. And so you're taking a look at some movies, Hollywood blockbusters, so to speak, and talking a little bit about how they do and don't depict history and what really happened.
Yes. A lot of people in South Dakota, small-town people and rural people, get a lot of their history from the movies, believe it or not. And it's not always accurate. But in particular, we're going to look at some of the Vietnam movies, such as Platoon and Hamburger Hill and Apocalypse Now. And we're also going to take a look at American Hustle. And then there's one more movie. I can't think of it. It's about the Vietnam War.
Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah, Charlie Wilson's War. How could I
forget
that?
There you go. Well, let's start with American Hustle because you were directly involved with the AB scam. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, paint the picture, do the explainer of what AB scam was.
All right. It's so long ago, but in the in 1980, there was a sting operation in Washington, but also in New Jersey, which public officials took bribes in exchange for introducing legislation to help people get admitted to the United States. And I was accidentally interviewed or talked to by one of the middlemen in that, and told him that I would never do anything in exchange for a payment. And I became kind of famous in the short run. Everybody forgot about it pretty quickly. But in any event, a movie has been made about AB scam. But the actual outcome of the movie was a little different in that it's mostly about a romance among the people in the middlemen. And it's mostly about the city of some city in New Jersey. The whole story has been changed, I guess, because they don't want to get sued by anybody or they're careful. But the movie was much hyped up in advance for about 12 months, and they thought it was going to get. It was nominated for 11 or 12. No, it was nominated for 13 Academy Awards. It only got one, and there was all this talk the year before. And I got interviewed a lot in the year before by the Washington Post and by this and that. I mean, I'm kind of an obscure guy, but I started getting phone calls, and they wanted to know what I thought about AB scam now, and so on and so forth. And I think those sting operations are probably necessary. They can get a little carried away. But we do have a lot of corruption in Washington. We still do. I don't know if it really resulted in improving things any. Some of our corruption is now more legalized in that everything is disclosed, supposedly, all these contributions. But in any event, it's an entertaining movie, but it's really not very good history. So I would recommend that people try to read about it a little bit. In addition to knowing about it.
Instead of just taking it as fact.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You told me that all the hype around that movie, though, is what prompted you to run for the Senate.
Yes. The other side of the story on these movies is that we do learn from movies because we hear about them or we go see them, and people enjoy them. And they usually don't read about history. We don't enjoy reading about history at night or whatever so much as we do going to the movies. So the movies are a great force in understanding, in communication. You know, usually if you meet a new person, you have something to talk about. You say, what movies have you seen lately? And usually there's one or two that you've seen that they've seen. So it's a great communication thing in our society. I'm not criticizing Hollywood at all. They've got to make them so that they, so that people will pay money to go see them. But don't rely on them for your primary history source. I think it's a supplemental thing. But in my own case, I had kind of forgotten all about public service, and been getting these numerous calls about this movie reminded me that maybe I have a duty, and I ended up running for office as an independent last year, and I lost. I was defeated, but I thank the people who supported me, but you know, I'm very happy with the outcome. But because of that, I started to think about public service and about doing the right thing, and people told me, well, you did the right thing, you should run again. And a lot of people really didn't know about Abscam before that movie, so it kind of gave me a little bit of publicity, I guess. But I'm very glad that Harriet and I are very happily ensconced in Sioux Falls and elsewhere, and everything turned out just fine.
Were you depicted in the movie at all as the one not taking the bribe? Forgive me because I didn't see the movie.
Well, actually, I was not. In the sense, they have a composite character who turned the bribe down and then took it later, who supposedly represented me and two other people. But they were very careful not to have anybody's name in the movie. They're the same. They said at the beginning the characters have been changed, or there's no relationship between direct relationship between it, because I guess some people want to get paid. In fact, one of the middlemen is still upset, or his estate is now, that he didn't get paid, but his name wasn't used in the movie. But a lot of people want to get money out of these movies. I didn't get any. Let me say, I'm one United States senator who didn't make any money in office or out of office, and I'm okay. I live on my pension, but I never stacked up the kind of wealth that some people do. And I hope that they don't do it through deals like that, but I'm afraid sometimes they do. But in any event, people say, well, didn't you get some money out of the movie or something? And no, I did not, and I do not want any.
So you're speaking with a film club of students at Dakota State University. What's your advice to them as they set out to write or direct or produce a film that has a historic
look? I think
look.
The students have the... I think film is the most powerful communicative element in our society today. And I hope that they make some good movies and some good documentaries, especially about politics, because the number of reporters has shrunk down who report about politics, and people are apathetic. They're not willing to pay to hear about it. So we have to depend on the movies to get a lot of our message across about public service and doing public service. And I went to the University of South Dakota in Vermilion, where old Dr. Farber used to say, do public service, do something for your country, do something for your fellow men. So I volunteered to serve in Vietnam, and I volunteered to run for office for a number of years. And I hope I did some good. I think I did. So many people are so disgusted with politics and so disgusted with what's going on in Washington and in the state government that they just turn away. But it's through movies that we can get some of the message out there of what needs to be improved and maybe inspire some young women and men to try to do something about it.
So let's talk a little bit about how war is depicted in film.
Yes. Well, Charlie Wilson's war gave him credit for us sending those missiles into Afghanistan, which now I think was a great mistake in our foreign policy. It meshed us. But actually, it was Zygmunt Brezhnev, Carter's security advisor, wrote him a memo urging that Sting missiles be sent into Afghanistan. And so Carter started it. And then Reagan, big time, supported it. So all that was being done by the White House and by the Senate Appropriations Committee. And in this movie, Charlie Wilson gets most of the credit. That's okay. I knew Charlie Wilson. He's a charming guy, but he played only a very tiny role. Actually, a book was written by a CIA agent who was kind of promoting himself. But it made a great story. But again, it's a romance more, and it's an adventuresome thing. You fly in helicopters over to Pakistan and all the great visuals. But it's not very good history, again, because Charlie Wilson really had a very tiny amount to do with that. It was Ronald Reagan and, in my judgment, and Jimmy Carter, the two presidents who really did it. But I wouldn't take anything away from anybody. Now, in terms of the other war films we're looking at, I served in combat in Vietnam, and the one thing that's lacking is that these films that we're looking at are a little anti-American. They make the American soldier look worse than he was, I think. Now, a lot of American soldiers did things wrong over in Vietnam, but a lot of us tried to do the right thing. We thought we were on the side of freedom. We thought we were idealistic. I volunteered because if I didn't go, my dad said to me, somebody poorer than you or somebody less able. Now, a lot of my generation avoided the draft by staying on in college if they were rich enough or somehow avoided serving in Vietnam. But that meant that somebody poorer than them had to go instead, and so that's a little bit unfair. But in any event, I admire people for whatever they did. Some people fled to Canada. I'm an old man now. I'm 73 years old, so I'm not fighting with anybody anymore. But the point is that these movies that we're looking at, they show American soldiers in a little worse light than they were in. And they don't show the Vietnamese. A lot of the Vietnamese really appreciated our being there. And they would come up to me, at least, I remember, and say, thank you for being here. We're trying to fight to have a decent country, and we need to increase agricultural production in the Delta. And we did all sorts of projects distributing fertilizer and motor pumps and agricultural equipment to increase their production so they could feed their people. So we were trying to do good. So the United States, I think we try to do good, but in that case, I think we were probably wrong. And in retrospect, I wish we hadn't fought the Vietnam War, but we did. The way we fought, we could have won it early on. But it's such a complicated story. But nowadays, everybody wants to study World War II and praise World War II veterans, but nobody likes to study the Vietnam War, and nobody likes to praise Vietnam veterans. So when I came out of the service, I was shunned, actually. They said, don't wear your uniform in an airport or somebody might spit on you or something. Everybody's forgotten what contempt the public came and Hollywood held the U.S. military in those days. But that's fortunately changed. Now it's reversed. But I think part of that reversal is because the elites feel guilty about how they treated the Vietnam veterans. Anyway, these movies are worth watching. But again, people have got to read some of the real history, because this John Wayne made a movie that I think was probably more accurate. We're not looking at that one, about Vietnam, in which he had some Vietnamese soldiers talking about how much they appreciated the Americans being there. That voice has not really been heard in the United States. Apocalypse Now, it uses Wagner's great The Ride of the Valkyries and shows Americans bombing with napalm over Vietnamese children and so forth. And that probably happened once or twice. But generally speaking, everything I saw, our people were pretty careful to cooperate with the Vietnamese military, and we tried our best to do good over there, but I guess we didn't succeed, or at least nobody thinks we did. And these movies that we're looking at are a little anti-American, a little anti-military type movies, but that's okay. We need to look at them to get the full story.
And did the actual fighting scenes, are they accurate, or are they, Hollywood hyped?
They're a little exaggerated, but there were some fighting scenes that difficult, as there always are. But we had Vietnamese counterparts. That is, for every American soldier, there was a Vietnamese soldier. And the Vietnamese had the ultimate command, the ARVN, they were called, the Army of Vietnam. They had the ultimate command in all the situations that I saw. Now, there were lots of different things happened in a lot of different parts of the country. But I was down in the Delta, and we also distributed agricultural products, and we tried to keep the roads open so that the food could get into Saigon. They were starving out the cities because the Viet Cong, they were called, controlled the roads at night. So we had to have escorts for food convoys of food going into the cities in the daytime. And we didn't face so much hardcore combat troops as we did snipers who would pick away at us. And it was very hard to return the fire because they'd always shoot at us from a schoolyard or from someplace where... And we couldn't return fire unless our Vietnamese counterpart approved of returning fire. So it was a very it was much more complex. The movies, I think Hamburger Hill just shows U.S. troops, but we were always intermingled with Vietnamese troops, and that made us a lot less efficient because it's their country and they were the ultimate commanders.
Do you think not enough time has passed to accurately portray what happened in Vietnam?
Well, I want to congratulate the film club at Dakota State for sponsoring this, because I think we need to think more about Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I think it's reflective of us internally. We had a big internal battle of anti-war riots and elections, and George McGovern of our state played a big part in opposing the war, and I think he was probably right, although if we'd fought the war correctly, I think we could have won it. But Vietnam veterans have been treated very badly, and we're kind of the forgotten veterans. Everybody talks about the Iraq and the Afghan veterans now, and the World War II veterans, the greatest generation, and I don't want to take anything away from them. But as a Vietnam veteran, I want to put in a plug for Vietnam veterans. We served in a war we didn't understand, or we didn't understand. Well, in fact, later we learned that our President Johnson was lying to us about what he really thought about the war. So guys like me volunteered listening to Johnson, and that kind of burns me up a little bit, but that's history. And maybe he had some reasons for it that we haven't found out, but his tapes, he was saying the opposite thing in his tapes to his generals, as he was saying in his speeches. So I had the I thought we were winning over there when I was a second lieutenant over there in Vietnam. But I'm really glad that Dakota State is having this this thing, and they've remembered old Senator Pressler here, and I'm glad to come and give them a talk next Monday. But I'll be listening to them also.
Okay. Larry Pressler, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to it, and it's next Monday.
Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.